This is Daf HaShavua, Shir number 2 for Daf Pei Aleph in Masechet Ksuvos. We're on Pei Aleph and Aleph. We're 9 lines from the bottom of the page. The last one on the word on the line is the word Vaha. So in order to understand the Gemara's question, we have to go back to 6 lines down on Pei Aleph and Aleph where it says Amar Rava. So let's remind ourselves what the case is. We're speaking about a Shomeris Yavim. This is already on Pei Aleph Beis on the bottom there after the Mishnah. We're speaking about a Shomeris Yavim, a woman who's waiting for Yibam, and then she passes away, and the Gemara had a discussion who has to bury her, whose responsibility was that. So the Gemara had said, and then Abaye said, in fact, we have a support from a Mishnah to this idea that it is the Yavam's responsibility. Why? Because since he is Yoresh Her Ksuva, he gets the 100 or 200 or Tosefes of the Ksuva, he's responsible to bury her. So Rava to that had said, Oh my Rava, now we'll read from there, 6 lines down from the top. Vilema Achani Yoresh Ishto Enin Kover. Why can't the brother say, yeah, I do yarshin my brother, my deceased brother. That's true. When I get the ksuva that normally that he would get if his wife passed away, but ishto enin kover. But I'm not taking responsibility to bury his wife. Why should I have to do that? So Amalei Abaye said back to Rav, I'll tell you why you have to bury her. Mishum debayin alav, mishum eitz dadin. Because from either angle you come from, you'll see why in the end you'll have to take responsibility to bury her. Because im achiv yoresh, if you really telling me that you're yarshin from your brother, which is what you're arguing, yikbor es ishto. So then you have to bury, because same way the brother yarshins the wife and yarshins her ksuva, and therefore the kavura is in place of the ksuva, you have to do the same. And in eino kover es ishto, if you're claiming you don't have the responsibility to bury this woman, your brother's wife, so yitim ksuvasa, then you have to pair the ksuva, meaning you shouldn't have the rights to that ksuva. You have to pay, should pay that up to her. You would be able to keep that. So Amalei, so Rava said back to Abaye, and this is what we need to understand our Gemara's question in a moment. So Rava said back to Abaye, Hachi ka amina. Now this is what I meant. This is what the brother can say. Achani yoresh, es ishto enani kover. Once again, I do yarshin my brother, but and the ksuva, of course, but I shouldn't have to take the responsibility to bury his wife. Vimishim ksuva. And if you'll say, if that's the case, oh, then pay out the ksuva, and that you shouldn't yarshin it, pay it out. Lo nitna ksuva legvos mechayim. I don't have a responsibility to pay a ksuva mechayim as long if I'm alive, meaning what? In general, as long as a husband's alive, the ksuva cannot be collected. Now, take the brother who passed away. So when he was alive, of course you don't pay the ksuva when he's alive. Then he died. But I'm in place of my brother now, says the Yavam. And I was planning on performing Yibum with this woman, and therefore I wouldn't have to pay the ksuva either. And the fact that she died, that's not my problem. It's as if she died during my brother's lifetime. And if that's the case, I don't have to pay the ksuva. That is the argument that he makes, that he says back to, this is Rava's argument back to Abaye, and this is why he shouldn't have responsibility to bury necessarily. And if you'll say, oh, then he should pay it out of the ksuva, what do you mean? The ksuva's never paid out mechayim, and I'm alive and well. I shouldn't have to pay any ksuva out to anybody or her children or whatever, her yorshim. No, not necessary at all. So now we're up to our Gemara now. The last word on the line is Vaha. Ay, Vaha, Ba'ino. The ksuva says that if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi 7 lines before it gets wide. Ala el parach, we're going back to what we said earlier, meaning to Abaye's comment, either way you look at it, from Mishnah Stadim. Sof hech ksuva nigves mechayim. How could you argue, Abaye, that the ksuva should be collected mechayim, meaning what, that he should have the responsibility to pay out the ksuva? You're telling me he's not yorish the ksuva? Because he doesn't want to bury? So therefore you should have to pay the ksuva out? Why should he have to do that? Hech ksuva nigves mechayim shenucha lavo alav mishnei tzadim, that we can come from these 2 angles and therefore come to the conclusion that he should have to bury her. After all, vaha back in the Gemara, don't we need to fulfill that which is written in the ksuva? When you marry someone else, titzli masha kasav lichi, then you'll be able to collect the ksuva. But veleka, we don't have that. What does that mean? So when it comes to the ksuva, It says literally that the husband is obligating himself to pay the ksuva tarba. That's only when she's permitted to marry someone else. Yeah, the husband dies. She's usually permitted to marry someone else. And then, of course, you get divorced. You're permitted to marry someone else. And therefore, the ksuva will be paid out. But in our case, she can't marry another person. She has she's a kuka liyavam. So we don't have that. The yavam is alive. So she can't marry someone else. So why should it be that we could say that, Abaye is arguing, then she should be able to elect the ksuva, he should have to pay the ksuva. He shouldn't have to pay the ksuva mechayim, especially in this case where she has an attachment to the yavam. So there's no reason why the yavam should have to pay out that ksuva at all. And it's based on the ksuva that was written, the original ksuva that the deceased husband wrote. So why should there be any payment of the ksuva? He shouldn't have to pay the ksuva, even though he wants to argue, I shouldn't have to bury her. You don't say, because he's not going to bury her, therefore he has to pay the ksuva. Why? The ksuva itself has this stipulation that you don't pay it out until she's permitted to marry someone else, and she's attached to the yavam. So the Gemara says, "Amar Avashi yavam nami ka'acher dami." No, the yavam is considered like someone else, like she's marrying someone else. If you look at Rashi, yavam nami ka'acher dami, three lines before it gets wide. V'kaven she'tirasa misa saval inasa the yavam. Since the death of the husband of the deceased brother allows her to marry the yavam, me'osa shah zachsa menachasim. It's from that the moment that she's zoche in the nechasim of the deceased, that he's zoche in those nechasim of those of that brother. Rather, it's from that moment that she is zoche in the nechasim. That's why he can pay out the ksuva mechayim, because she's now permitted to someone else. Who's the other? Who's the someone else? It's the other, and therefore the other would have to be the ksuva if he's not going to bury. So that is the idea of mechayim. That indeed that can be. So when the Gemara asks, on Abaye, how, since when is there any payment mechayim? So the answer is yes, potentially there would be. So either you have to go either from either angle, Mishnei Tzadim. If you're going to tell me that what you're yorish to the ksuva, so then you have to bury her. And if you tell me you're not burying her, so then you should have to pay the ksuva, even though it's mechayim because she's permitted to someone else. Who's that? That's you. That's the Yavam himself. Gemara continues. Shalach le Rav Abaye biyad Rav Shmaya bar Zera. So they sent the following question, and that is so related to our topic. And this is Abaye and Rava once again going back and forth regarding this collection mechayim, the collecting the ksuva of Yavama mechayim. So the following was sent. Rava is sending to Abaye through the hands of Shmaya bar Zera. Uminit na ksuva ligavos mechayim. Hold on one second. Since when can a ksuva of Yavama be collected during the lifetime of the Yavam? That's what Abaye said can happen. That's what Rava said cannot happen. And Rav is now questioning Abaye once again. After all, though, Vahatanya, Rav asks Abaye from this Brisa, Rabbi Yaba Omer, listen to what it says in the Brisa. Sha'alti esumchos harotza shim korbenich se'achiv. Yava Yavam, who after Yibam already, he performed Yibam. He's now married to his sister-in-law. But what does he want to do? He wants to sell she'im korbenich se'achiv. He wants to sell the property of the deceased brother. So, okay, so what's the issue? So the issue is, isn't there a lien on that property to pay out the ksuva of his sister-in-law, of this woman, of the wife of the deceased brother? So how is he able to do so? Is it possible for him to sell that property? Ketzad Osa, how should he do so? So this is what Rab Abba asked him. Chasim Chosa said, this is the way he can do so. Im Kohen, who, if he's a Kohen, that if, what if he divorces her, he would not be able to take her back. Yas, a suda v'yifayis. Let him make a suda and appease her. This way she'll be happy with him, and he'll be able to do whatever he wants. Take a look at Rashi, was three lines into the wide lines. Sheyim kor benichse aviv la'achar shekanas asivim to, after he married Zivam of Amr la'el, call him a chas of achar in the ksuva. So there's a lead on all his property for the ksuva. So how can he sell it? Im kohen hu shemigar shen alo yichalach zira yasa l'suda yafeh l'su yafah for what purpose? L'fatosa b'mishte hayayin, in order to appease her with this party, with this feast, and this way he'll appease her and persuade her to give him permission to sell. Now, obviously he's not going to sell everything. He's going to leave enough money for the ksuva, but he wants to sell the extra. Now, the extra normally he shouldn't be able to sell because there's a lien on that, on all of that property. So if the way he appeases her, so then he'll be able to do so and sell it, because to divorce her and take her back, which is what we'll see if he's a Yisrael, so then there's a way out. But as a Kohen, the only way to do it is to appease her. Vim Yisrael who, let's say though, Im Yisrael who, so if he's Yisrael, Migarish beget v'yachzer. Divorce her with a get, pay the ksuva, and then take her back. So that's, how does that solve the problem? So if you take a look at Rashi, Migarsha beget, so umegabes ksuvasa, and he collects the ksuva, umocher masha yirtze, umachzira albanas ksuvasa rishona, and he sells what he wants and then takes her back based on the original ksuva. Oh, afilu rotza lachzira miyad. Let's say he wants to take her back immediately. Mocher kol masha yirtze. He's able to sell whatever he wants. Why? She'ein ma'akeves milimkor ela yavama. Lefi, who's holding him back from selling it? The Yavama. Lefi she'ena Yavam kosev lo ksuva, because the Yavam doesn't normally write a ksuva, lo kasav lo, and therefore he didn't write in any ksuva de kanoi v'tkanina, that anything that I buy, or anything that is going to be acquired or sold, vein ksuvasa el ala rishon. The ksuva, in other words, he didn't write a new ksuva in the typical case. So therefore, it's always going back to the original ksuva. So if there's the lien on all of that property. So that's why, so that's what's going to hold him back from ever selling anything. But if what? He divorces her and writes a new ksuva, so now everything's new. If he now does so, the Yavam remarries her and writes a new ksuva. So now what happened? What is he saying? So, this new ksuva, all the property that he owns and any property that he'll purchase, that's what it means, right? The kanai that I bought or I may buy in the future. So then that's, he didn't write that in the old ksuva. But by divorcing her and taking her back, he writes a new ksuva. Now we're not going back to the old ksuva. So now there's a lien on the current property, but he had the right to sell the other property. That is the way he's able to sell nichsei achiv. That's what Sumcha says. Okay, so once again, if it's a Kohen, Kohen Yas has to be Fayes, in Yisrael who Megorish beget v'yachzir. Okay, so now we turn to Pei Aleph and Beis. V'saka, so now this is the question that Rava is raising on Abaye. Remember, Abaye is the one who said she can collect the ksuva mechayim. According to Rava, you can't collect the ksuva mechayim. So says the Gemara, V'saka da'itin nitna ksuva ligvos mechayim, if it's true that a woman, the Yavama, can collect the ksuva mechayim, and that's the intention of it while the Yavam's still alive. So hold on one second. Why should we say in this case the Yavam divorces the Yavama in order to sell the property, the deceased brother's property? Niyachei lashir ksuva? If the ksuva is omedes de ligavos mechayim, so let him set aside property that's equal to the ksuva, vasha lizban, and just sell the rest of it. The fact that he designated a certain amount of property of the ksuva should automatically allow, that should take away the lien on the rest of the property. Meaning what? If a ksuva is not supposed to be nigves mechayim, collected mechayim, so then he doesn't have the right to designate anything because there's a lien on all the entire property. But if it is nigves mechayim, so why can't he say, okay, it is nigves mechayim, guess what? You're going to collect your ksuva from this amount, and there'll be plenty here for you to collect, and then I'll be able to sell the rest of the property. So the Gemara says, so that's what Rava asked on Abayas. Says Abay back l'tamech, according to that, that Iksuva, you hold that Iksuva is not intended to be collected when the Yavim's alive. So hold on. So you're saying that this is a question from what we see Rabbi Abba asked Simchus in that particular brisa. What do you mean? You should ask the question from our Mishnah itself. What does the Mishnah say? Lo yomar lo harek suvosich munachas licha la shulchan el kol nechosav achor l'ksuvasa. What is we say like this? The Mishnah says that the Yavam can't tell the Yavama, listen, your ksuv is sitting on the table and that's it. It's designated here and the rest of the my brother's property is going to be mine. He can't do that. But rather what? All the nechasim are achra and the ksuva says a lien on the property of the brother for to pay the ksuva. And he can't set it aside. Why not? According to your argument, this should be allowed as well. It must be what? So Rava says no. I'll tell you why. I wouldn't ask the question from the Mishnah. Haslam eitz tova kamas bolan. The Mishnah there is not telling you that it can't be done. The Mishnah is telling you maybe that's only good advice. Why? Dilotei mahachi. Because if you're not going to say that the Mishnah is just giving you Eitzah Tova, if you really think Mishnah is giving you a halacha, save a diktani, you know what the Mishnah says at the end? V'chein lo yamar adam li'ishto harek suvosich munachas licha l'shulchan. A regular case. A man can tell us, a regular wife, forget Yavam Yavama. Oh, by the way, Yiksuva is sitting on the table. Ela kol nechasovach roin l'ksuvas ishto. Rather, what? All his property is pledged, is set aside for, is designated for has a lien upon it for the ksuva. Right? If the regular husband wants to sell his own property, is he not allowed to sell some of his property? We assume that a husband has the right to sell some of his property. There's nothing wrong with that. So it must be then. Why does Mishnah say a regular husband shouldn't tell his wife his yiksuva and he can't sell his property? It's just not true. He has the right to sell some of his property. It's his problem because you know why? She'll be able to collect from the kuchos. So if he does so, he does so. Ella rather eats a tova kamasplan. Rather, what we're giving the husband is good advice. That's all we're telling him to do. The same thing. If you take a look at Rashi, Eitz HaTova, Rashi says about 8 lines into the thin lines, Shema Yovdu HaMetaltlin, V'nim Tzei B'lo Ksuva, B'tzarech Tov Ksuva Acheres, because if the Metaltlin are lost, if you sell property, and now you lose, and there's no Metaltlin, you have to write a new Ksuva, and she has no Ksuva, you have to write a new one, and therefore we're giving you good advice, Ela D'Rabbi Abba Kasha. So once again, Ela Eitz Tova Kamash Malon, Hachanami Eitz Tova Kamash Malon. So therefore, Rava says to Abai the same thing in the Braisa. It's giving you good advice. In our Mishnah, rather, it's giving you good advice regarding the Yavam and the Yavama. But there's no Kasha from there. But Ela Rabbi Akasha. But that which we saw, Rabbi Abin Simchus, that is a question. It's certainly, it sounds like we should be able to designate property better than divorcing the woman. Look at Rashi. Elad Rabbi Abba Kasha and the Megoresh law, right? Instead of divorcing our Niyachi law, wanting to designate some property, Shari Gerish and Ganai, Hamish name. That's bad. Gives a bad reputation for both. Elavadai Tamedelo Nitnuk Suvala Higva Hagvosa Mechaim. So once again, Rava says, it must be because you can collect the ksuva mechayim, and that must be the reason why we don't suggest to designate a certain amount of property because it can't be collected mechayim. That is Rava's kasha on Abaye from the ruling of Sumchus and Rabbi Abba. So the Gemara says Rabbi Abba namelo kasha. Abaye says no, I'm not told about that either. Mishum Eva. You know why the Yavim shouldn't designate the ksuva? Not because he can't. It really is nigmeis mechayim, and he could do that and sell the rest of the property. The reason we don't we say he shouldn't do so is Mishum Eva, to avoid any Ava between, any hatred between the marriage, the Yavim and the Yavama. Look at Rashi, Mishum Eva, Hamiyachai, the Ishto, O Karka, O Metaltalin, No Sein Evas Olam Beineim, creates animosity. The Sovra ain't of No Sein Megarishin. She's thinking he wants to divorce me. Avol Zeshe, Megarish, Almanashe, Yachzir. But the case that Simchus suggested, oh, you're going to Megarish her, Almanashe, taking her back, Yadu Deloasa Elim Kor. She realizes the reason why he's setting this whole thing up is so that he can sell the property, but he's planning on taking it back, and therefore that will remove any animosity.